Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on the subject, the power of faith-filled words. And this is a brand new teaching. In one way, it's not a new teaching because I talk about this quite a bit, but I just haven't taught on it in depth, and I haven't had a series on it for about, it's been 35 or 40 years ago that I taught on this and made a series out of it, and it's so old that we don't even offer it anymore. So I am reteaching this. Many of you will have heard me say some of the things that I'll be talking about, but I believe that this is just a powerful, powerful series. And we have these brand new products entitled The Power of Faith-Filled Words. This is a CD album here. We also have a DVD album, the exact programs from television that you could take. Or we have a DVD album that was recorded live at one of my conferences over in the UK back in June of 2011. And I tell you, this is really an important teaching. I encourage you to please get a hold of this. You know, in the very beginning of my ministry, even before I heard other people teach on the power of words, I had an encounter with the Lord that showed me the power of His Word in my mouth. And I won't go through the whole thing, but I was an introvert. I was just petrified standing in front of people and talking to them. I couldn't talk to a person that I didn't know and look them in the eye. I was extremely introverted. It was kind of a selective introversion. If it was people that I knew, I could be the life of the party around them once I knew that they weren't going to reject me or something like that. But if it was somebody I didn't know, I remember in high school walking down the street and having somebody say hi to me, and they were two blocks down the street before I got high back out. And that was when I was a senior in high school. And I mean, I was just paralyzed by this. And when the Lord called me to preach, I tried for 2 years to minister, and it was just pitiful. Many of you think it's pitiful now, but it used to be more pitiful. Amen. It used to be really, really bad. And I had an encounter. This is right after Jamie and I got married. We got married October the 27th, 1972. So this would have been probably January of 1973. The Baptist church that I was attending asked if I would get up and speak on Layman's Sunday and have the Sunday morning message. And this was a church of about 300 or 400 people. And I said yes, because I knew God had called me to minister the Word. But as soon as I said yes, this fear of people started coming on me. And I mean, I was struggling, and it just became a major deal with me. And I remember one night I was praying about this thing just day and night. And one night I was going to go to bed, and typically I could lay down and be asleep within just seconds. And I never had a trouble going to sleep. Well, this time it was like 20 or 30 minutes and I wasn't able to fall off to sleep. And so I got to thinking, you know, is the Lord speaking something to me? Jamie and I were in a one-bedroom apartment, the Kingsley Place Apartments over in Dallas, Texas. And so anyway, I got up and went into the little living room that we had, and I mean, God just showed up. And I hadn't got time to tell you the whole thing, but let me just share a portion of what He said to me about the Word. It says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, He spoke to me through these verses just the same as if He was talking directly to me. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." You know, this was total revelation to me, and it just overwhelmed me. And I responded exactly the way that Jeremiah did right here. He said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." And when the Lord began to start revealing to me that He was going to set me over the nations and having me speak to multiple nations and stuff, I said, "God, I can't do it. I can't talk to people." And in verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that shalt thou speak. And I hadn't got time, like I said, to go into all of the detail. But did you know, prior to that time, God had called me, and I was trying to do what He had called me to do. But I constantly was just speaking out, I can't do this. I can't talk in front of people. I'm introverted. I'm afraid of what people are going to say. And I was just constantly speaking all of this stuff. And I mean, God spoke to me. It wasn't in an audible voice, but it was just as powerful if it had been an audible voice that had shaken the ground. He said, "Say not, I am a child." And you know, since that time, that was January of 1973, I have never spoken out all of my fears and my doubts about this. God began to start teaching me the power of words and told me, don't you ever say I'm a child. Don't you ever say that I can't do what I've called you to do. And then He went on to say, He said, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." And did you know that happened to me that night, January of 1973, that as the Lord was speaking these things to me, again, I didn't see anything, I didn't feel anything physical, but in the spiritual realm, I knew I was in the presence of God. God told me He put His words in my mouth and for me to never say I was a child again. And then He led me over to Jeremiah 5:14. And again, I don't remember how I was able to put this together. I just take this as being the Holy Spirit led me directly to this verse. And Jeremiah 5:14 says, "Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and the people wood, and it shall devour them." And did you know, after that experience, from that time on, I mean, things changed. I got up in front of my little Baptist church on Layman Sunday, and prior to that time, I had ministered. I remember holding a 3-day revival, and I memorized 3 sermons from a book, and I got so nervous, I quoted all 3 of them in 5 minutes the first night. And I mean, 5 or 10 minutes was a long time for me to go because I was just so introverted. I got up at that Layman Sunday and I talked for over 2 hours. They literally had to come up and tell me to shut up and sit down, and it was over. And in a way that was bad, but in another way it showed that, man, I had overcome that fear. And it was because I understood the power of words. And I believe that God put His words in my mouth. And you know, I'm not saying this in a boastful way talking about me. I'm saying it in a thankful way to glorify the Lord that I have seen this happen thousands and thousands and thousands of times. That I stand up to minister and, you know, here I am, a hick from Texas. My English isn't the best. I have people make fun of me wherever I go because of the way I talk. And yet, God put His words in my mouth, and I have seen people just melted in front of me. I've seen people who were my critics, people who were opposed to me, and God just takes these words and transforms people's lives. You know, back before I had this experience, I used to be so fearful that I would pray and say, "Oh God, let the singing be perfect and don't let anybody get up and do things," because I was so, it was so fragile. It was like if they didn't sing the right songs and if the song service wasn't good and if the people weren't really worked up to a place to be able to receive, I was just dead on arrival. But you know, since that time, it wouldn't matter to me if the devil himself got up and led the praise and worship service. And I think I've been in some services where that might have been true. And it just doesn't matter because when I get up, I know that God's word is in my mouth and it's like fire and the people wood and it devours them. And I was able to overcome all of my fears and all of these things because of understanding the power of words, specifically the Word of God on my lips, that it would be like a hammer that breaks in pieces all of the criticism and doubt. And I've had critics come out against me, and I've had people stand up and yell at me in the midst of a service, and I've done things. And I tell you, my confidence level is just, I mean, daylight and dark from what it used to be before I understood the power of words, specifically the power of God's Word. And there are many of you that just go through your life not understanding the power, the authority that God has given us. You know, I'm sure that there's many things involved in the superiority of mankind over the animal creation. And the Scripture says that God made the animal creation subject to us. And so I'm sure there's many things involved, but one of the distinguishing things that sets us apart from all of the other creation of God is our ability to talk, our ability for words. Sad to say, most of our words, at least many, probably in most cases, most of our words are words of death that are actually giving Satan power and releasing the devil. But once you begin to understand this power and this principle, it is a God quality to be able to talk. It is a God quality. It's one of the things that made us in the image of God. Man, that's powerful. Your words, it's a God-given quality. And with your words, you can bless people. You could change lives, or you can hurt people. You know, I typically go into a place, you know, and I buy a soda, or I go to the cleaners, or I do whatever I'm doing. And I have people come out, and one of the typical things that people say is, "How are you?" And I just use my words to say, "I'm blessed." I don't sit there and preach a whole sermon or quote five scriptures, but did you know that is such an abnormal response that it opens up doors? Like this morning, I had a woman that asked me how I was, and I said, "I'm blessed." And she goes, "Oh, I'm blessed too." And then she started talking about the Lord, and it opened up a conversation. And you know what? You can bless a person. I've gone into stores before and just told people, I said, "You know, God loves you. And just do something nice to bless a person." Sometimes I'll go through the cleaners and they'll charge $4 or $5 for what I'm picking up, and I'll give them a $5 tip. And you know what? It blesses people, and you just say something nice to them. You'd be amazed how you could change the environment of places if you just begin to start using the power of your tongue. And you don't have to do it in a religious way. You don't have to do it like, "You guys are hypocrites and you're unbelievers and I'm going to turn around and start now talking about some godly things." But God will give you wisdom, but you could use the power of your words. And I do this constantly around people. I've seen, you know, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. And I have seen people who are mad at me, and I'll just come back and I'll begin to start complimenting them. I'll say something. I say, "I'm sorry, I didn't." And you can use your words and you can stop that thing. But if you respond in kind, it's like they push, you push back, and it just, you know, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over." And it just escalates from there. I tell you, you can't solve every single thing, because some people are just hell-bent on being mean and angry and stuff like that. But I promise you, you would be amazed if you begin to use the power of your words to affect the environment that you're in. I remember one time playing basketball with a group of guys, and some of them were my friends, but we didn't have enough to play a full game, and so there were some other guys. We asked them to play with us. And I mean, every other word was profanity, and they were cursing and blasting this and saying terrible things. And you know what? I didn't sit there and just begin to preach to them and do stuff like that. But finally, I just had had all of that I could take. And I'd start going, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Thank you, Jesus!" And they'd curse, and I'd begin to start praising God. And after a few times of that, they said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "You praise your God, I'll praise mine." And I laughed at it, and I said, "I'm not mad at you." I said, "I just don't like to hear that stuff." And I was glorifying God. And did you know, within just a very short period of time, those guys started looking over at me and going, "Hallelujah," and "Praise the Lord." And we had a good time about it. And you know what? They may not have been sincere, but it stopped me having to hear all of this stuff. And I guarantee you, it made them think about what they were doing. Some people just do this stuff out of habit and they don't even think about what they're doing. But God can give you wisdom. You can use words to change situations. If you're in a work environment where there's strife and stuff, did you know you could change that around by just start showing some love? Do something nice. Do something kind for a person. And you need some wisdom to be able to do this, but God will give you that wisdom. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And it goes on and talks about the superiority of Jesus over angels, over the Old Testament doctrines, and over everything, that this is the way that God speaks to us today. But in that verse 3, notice it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That word express image is talking about a perfect copy, a perfect representation. Not a similar representation, but a perfect representation. And then it says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. If you watched our program yesterday, I was talking in Genesis about how he created the heavens and the earth by his words. He said, let there be light. He said, let the earth appear and the waters be gathered into one place. And he said, let there be lights. And he said, and he created the animals and the plants and us. He did everything by speaking these things into existence. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So God spoke everything into existence, and then this says that he upholds everything by the Word of his power. You know, I heard Oral Roberts one time talk about the power that is in an atom. And we've only been able to split unstable atoms such as uranium, plutonium, and things like this. But did you know that Oral Roberts was saying that in a slice of regular white bread, there's still atoms there. And if we could split those atoms, he says one slice of white bread has enough energy in it to power an ocean liner across the Atlantic and back. In one slice of bread, there's that much energy. But that atom is locked. It's held together. And yet, you know, from what we understand, there is a nucleus, and then there's the electrons that go round about it, and there's actually space in this atom. In each molecule, there's space. If somehow or another you could just keep magnifying and amplifying, you could actually get an atom up to where you could, you know, stick things in between the electrons and the nucleus of that atom. And yet they're held together so tightly that we can't split except just a few of the unstable atoms. What is it that holds these things together when there's space inside them and they're rotating around the nucleus? What holds all of this together? According to this scripture, it's the integrity of his word. It's his word that holds all things together. God created every atom, every molecule, every plant, every animal, everything. He spoke them into existence, and it's all held together by the power of his word. As long as you see creation still intact, as long as you see a tree standing there erect, as long as you see people, as long as you see animals and grass and plants, then you can know that God has never violated his word. He's never one time broken his word, because it's the integrity of his word that holds all of this together. If God was to ever deny himself and break his promise and not do what he said he would do, the universe would self-destruct, because it's all held together by the power of his word. Man, that's powerful. God cannot lie. God will not lie. And that's the way that God is. And God has spoken promises in here and has promised us things. And it's never, ever God that fails to deliver. It's always us that fails to understand and appropriate and cooperate with what God has told us to do. And this is one of the things that I'm teaching on, is that he has laws in his word that have been revealed. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and not doubt in their heart, but believe what you say comes to pass, then you will have whatsoever you say. These are laws that God spoke out of His mouth, and He cannot violate that. Many people don't understand this, and they are in a crisis situation. Maybe they're dying of cancer. They've got some incurable disease, and they're pitiful, and they're praying, and they're saying, "Oh God, please heal me." And they're begging God, and they're wondering, "God, why haven't you healed me? I know you can do it." They don't doubt that God can heal. And they're praying, and they desire it, and they need it. And they just can't understand why it's not working for them. And yet, every person that comes up to them says, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm dying. I'm going to die. The doctor says, unless I get a miracle, I'm dead." You speak forth your doubt and unbelief, and you just can't understand why you aren't being healed. It's because God upholds the universe by the integrity of His Word, and if He was to violate His own commands, where He told you to speak to your mountain and not doubt in your heart, but believe what you say comes to pass and you will have it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. If He was to violate His own instruction, the universe would blow up. It's His integrity. It's His truth. And He cannot just violate His instructions and come down. And even though you're violating everything, you're speaking forth your unbelief instead of your faith, you're just speaking forth your doubt and fear, you're going against everything He told you to do, but because He's God, He comes down and says, "Oh, King's X, time's out, suspend all of the laws, forget what I said, forget the promises, forget all of my instructions in my Word, and I'm just going to heal you as a unique situation." That's not how it works. You're hung by your tongue. And it's the integrity of God that holds everything together, and He cannot violate His Word. You, in a sense, tie the hands of God. He told you to do certain things, and you're doing exactly opposite to it and wonder why He's not coming through. It's because He's bound Himself by His Word. God operates by laws. You know, there's a law of gravity, that if you walk off a 10-story building, you're going to fall. God didn't create that law to hurt you, but to help you. I'm sitting in a chair right now, and I don't have to be buckled in or the chair nailed to the floor because gravity holds me here. We use it, and it's useful and it's helpful. But if I ignore these laws and just walk off a 10-story building, I guarantee that same law that was intended and created for my good can kill me. And God doesn't want to kill me by the law of gravity, but He's not going to just suspend it and let hundreds or millions of people drive off the roads because they were counting on gravity, holding their car on the road, let people do all kinds of things. There would be millions of people die if He was to suspend the law of gravity for a moment just because He didn't want me to die. He created these laws, and even though He wants me to live, those laws can kill me if I'm ignorant of them. And likewise, the laws about the words that you say, death and life being in the power of your tongue, these laws are killing us because we don't know what God's Word says about it, or we're ignoring what God's Word says about it, and then we wonder why it is that God isn't coming through. I tell you, this teaching could just transform your life. Our announcer is going to give you some information about how to get these materials. Today's going to be my last day to give you the first teaching in this 5-part set on the power of faith-filled words. So please listen to our announcer and then call or write today. And join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled "The Power of Faith-Filled Words" was recorded live at a recent conference. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page.
I have a brand new album entitled The Power of Faith-Filled Words. There's 5 teachings in here, and I'm going to continue to teach on this through this album. But today is my last day to make the first teaching in this 5-part set available to you as a gift. We offer our album for a gift of any amount, but there's some people who could not or would not send anything to get this, even when we don't put a specific price on it. So for that reason, my partners have enabled me to offer each individual teaching one at a time free of charge to you. Today's our last day to make the first teaching available to you as a gift. So please listen to our announcer and call or write today.
The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled The Creative Power of Words free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Seattle, Washington this week for a Gospel Truth Rally February 17th, in Portland, Oregon for a Gospel Truth Rally February 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days March 14th through the 16th. He'll also be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar March 29th through the 31st, in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar April 12th through the 14th, and in Colorado Springs for the Better Way to Worship Conference, April 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
What can five people accomplish in 12 short days? More than even they could imagine. During a 12-day mission trip to Uganda, five students from Charis Bible College Chicago witnessed firsthand how the love, grace, and power of God could forever change their lives and the lives of those they touched. While on a ministry trip to the hospital in Nakaseki, a remote town about an hour outside Kampala, this group of world changers prayed for and laid hands on the sick, telling them of the love of God and the price Jesus paid for their healing 2,000 years ago. Of the 150 patients in the Nakaseki hospital, 117 were released that very day. Find out how God can use you to change the world. Log on to charisbiblecollege.org to learn more about CBC Colorado Springs or any of our CBC Extension schools around the world. Charis Bible College, an extension of Andrew Womack Ministries.